You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll talk to the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. He'll join us coming up. You might think that the college football rankings are completely flawed, a joke, make no sense. But you have to admit they're fun to talk about. And last night the committee released its second to last ranking, and it was loaded with controversy. The undefeated USC Trojans climbed to number 13. Undefeated Cincinnati actually fell to number 9. Florida lost to LSU at home and fell one spot to number 7. Now, the trick of the rankings is none of it really matters except for the last one. And they make a big show out of them every week. Reese Davis does a wonderful job breaking everything down, asking the right questions. But the committee can throw all of the thinking out the window when they pick their final four teams. They seem to be pretty set on the four blue bloods, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. But football's unpredictable. A few upsets could cause some chaos, which means more arguing and therefore a whole lot more fun. Maybe you get a surprise coming up this weekend. Maybe. And as I've mentioned a couple of times now, my source said, and he has somebody with the committee, they've at least discussed this. If Clemson loses to Notre Dame, what do you do with Clemson? We'll have Trevor Lawrence on next hour. But my source said that Clemson, he thinks, if Clemson loses to Notre Dame again, this time with Trevor Lawrence on a neutral field, that Clemson would drop out of the top four. And A&M, assuming A&M beats Tennessee, A&M would move in to the final four. Sunday night, push for the playoffs continues. Baker Mayfield Jr. III and the Browns head to the Giants, take on the G-Men. It'll be Sunday night, 7 Eastern, only on NBC. Last hour, I said to Paulie, I got to find out where this kid is going. It's National Signing Day. And his name is General Booty. And he's got relatives who played at LSU. But I got to believe West Point, I got to believe Army is going after General Booty. Yes, Paul.
And we're all over the story. Okay. First of all, if you type General Booty into a search engine, be very careful. I'd like to apologize to management. General Booty plays at Allen High School, big-time high school down in Texas. They're still in the playoffs doing well. He played at a couple of high schools in California. His dad is the coach, and so he's played a few places.
Okay.
General Booty he's a quarterback, 6'3", 194, graduating in the spring. He's got offers from Liberty, Louisiana Monroe, McNeese State, Nicholls State, and Yale. The big boys haven't stepped up yet for the general.
Well, maybe General Booty comes to our area and goes to Yale.
It'd be booty time.
Yeah.
And booty are you call. Throwing your weight around?
Booty call. Yeah. No, I don't have any weight to throw around with when it comes to Yale. But I do have connections at West Point. I don't know if General Booty would like to.
The one thing about recruit going to West Point for General Booty, he'll throw about 7 forward passes a season. Mm. That may be a turnoff.
Yeah.
Great game, great offense.
Yeah,
they play a lot of big teams.
Yeah, and probably not the place for General Booty to go. Probably not. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Say good morning. Good morning to our radio and TV partners. The Greek Freak, $228 million for 5 years. I wonder if I look at this deal, and this deal ends in 5 years. He'll be 31, and then he signs another max deal. Who knows what the max deal is going to be like? If it's $228 now in 5 years, what's the max deal going to be? $275? $300? He's going to probably surpass. Wasn't Kevin Garnett the highest paid player in NBA history? But I think that's only like, I think only $350 million, something like that. I got to believe LeBron has made the most money of any player in the NBA.
There's a few guys that are over three. I think Jason Kidd was flirting with three. LeBron has to be in that mix now.
I would think he's played 19 years.
LeBron has made in his career, including last season, $310 million. 3 years from now, he'll be at $435 million in 3 years.
Is Kevin Garnett still the highest paid player in NBA history?
No, I think LeBron's going to pass him in about a month.
Oh, okay. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, I saw Garnett at 326 was, as of 2017, the highest. But like Paulie says, it'll soon go by the wayside.
What is the results of the poll question? Because I am really curious. And the question is, was the Greek Freak signing with Milwaukee a good day for the NBA? We know it's a great day for Milwaukee, Wisconsin sports. I don't think it's a great day. I don't think it was a great day for the NBA. And I'll tell you why. It's good and bad. I want the smaller market teams or mid-market teams to be able to hold on to players. But I imagine if he was playing in Dallas, or imagine if he wanted to play in Miami, or maybe someplace else, and you had these little, it's like satellite super teams. That's what people tune in for. That's the conversation. That's when people, you know, they go out of their way to watch a game. And that's why I said it was a good day, but I don't think it was a great day for the NBA. Yeah, McLovin.
71% said it was a good day. Keep in mind, we have a very big Wisconsin audience.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I'm happy that they kept him. I went back to when Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, won it out of Milwaukee. And they had won a title with Oscar Robertson. And, that decimates, you know, a small team, small market team. When you lose somebody, you lose the best player in the game who wanted to go to Los Angeles. Or Orlando, when Shaq wanted out. Or when Dwight Howard wanted out to a lesser degree. You know, some of these teams, some of these cities that they build or build with a star, and then the star wants to leave. Yeah, Paulie.
It's interesting. Milwaukee's an interesting town because over the past 30 years, they've had Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Giannis. So that means they've had high-end, national, famous guys on their sports teams. You know, the Bucks haven't had a lot of people before Giannis, and the Milwaukee Brewers have never had, you know, Ryan Braun was famous, but he wasn't household name famous.
Well, Yelich.
Yelich, yeah. 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 But you look at those, you know, go back to when Favre broke out. You're at 30 years of having super famous people on your town.
And the fact that Rodgers has been there his entire career. I don't know if he'll be there his entire career. Favre was there for almost all of his career. I don't know if Yelich spends his entire career there. But the Greek Freak at least is going to be there for another 5 years. Let's see. A couple of phone calls. Oh, by the way, Todd was still pouting today because, as I've said before, Seton and McLovin and Paulie are working remotely. And I said to Todd that his connection at home is not great, and I prefer that he came into the man cave. So we've spent a lot of time together. And I raised my voice. Did I yell? And if I did, then you can say that I yelled. But I raised my voice 2 days ago at you, right?
You did.
Okay. But it was something that you did the day before where I said you can't do that, right?
And it was an innocent mistake. I wasn't like defying what you asked me to do. It just totally slipped my mind once I had my headphones on and I was working on other things. But still, you had brought it up and then you were forced to bring it up a second time because
I
forgot.
What it is that we have the morning meeting, and Todd will sometimes we have the monitors up for morning shows, whether it's ESPN or Fox, the NFL Network. We want to keep an eye on if there's breaking news. And I said to Todd, you know, you can't have the sound up during the morning meeting. That's all. Can't have the sound up because I don't want that bleeding over where somebody's listening to Mike Greenberg on our show. And so he said, oh, okay, my bad. I didn't know it was on. I said, okay. Next day, we do the morning meeting, and I keep hearing Mike Greenberg, and I go, where is that? Now, normally, Paulie handles the remote because he'll be on that side, and he's got the remote. Well, the sound is up, and I come out, and I said, Todd, I told you, you can't do that. I can't have ESPN playing when we're doing the morning meeting.
Which is a valid point. You said something like it is imperative that
yes.
that can't be on.
Yes.
You can get sued for that or whatever. And you made the point very clearly, and I'm Mr. Sensitive. So however you said it and however I took it, I'm sure it can be magnified to a level of screaming, even if it wasn't quite your tone.
It wasn't screaming. It wasn't. But I did raise my voice, and you're the only guy I can yell at in here because there's no one else here. I can't yell at anybody. And
unfortunately, I'm the only one of the four that can like take it and then go about their business. The other guys can do that. I'm the one of the four that like it stays with you.
Oh, my God. And then I realized that he was going to mope the entire show. And I said, nope, we're not moping. We can't mope.
I wasn't going to be unprofessional. I would have turned it on by 9 a.m. Eastern time. But for a little while there, I had to soak it in and, you know, and just kind of process it and then move on.
Yes, Paulie.
I'm going to take the blame for this one because I really should have walked through Todd through the extensive process of standing upright, walking over, grabbing the remote, and pressing the volume down. As I've done it for years. But, you know, Todd's never worked that remote, even though he's had DirecTV for 50
years. I didn't realize it was loud enough that it can be, it was bleeding into the audio. But the bottom line is you had said it once and I should have just either shut the TVs altogether or just kept it down, which I've done since then after the second incident where there was ESPN audio going on in the background.
Apology accepted. Okay.
Okay. No. It was definitely not a defying of your order. Or
no, no, no. I didn't.
It was an innocent mistake, unfortunately made twice.
I didn't say you were defying me. I just said that you were not listening to me, apparently, the previous time when I told you you can't do that. And then I said, Todd, now you want to hear like a big-time star yell at people?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm gonna give you an example of a huge star yelling at people. And then you'll understand that, A, I'm not a big-time star, and I wasn't yelling at you. Here is Tom Cruise on the set of Mission Impossible recently, and he was not very happy with coworkers who were not following COVID protocol.
You're back there in Hollywood making movies right now because of us! Because they believe in us and what we're doing! I'm on the phone with every studio at night! Insurance companies! Producers! And they're looking at us and using us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs, you I don't ever want to see it again. Ever. And if you don't do it, you're fired. And I see you do it again, you're gone. And anyone on this crew does it. That's it. And you too. And you too. And you. Don't you ever do it again. That's it.
You feel a little better?
I do feel a little better.
Okay. That's Tom Cruise.
If you would have said that anywhere in remotely that yeah. tone, I would have been useless to you on the last couple of days' shows. Useless.
And I do understand what Tom Cruise is doing. I know that we're surprised when Tom Cruise... Now, he went on for another minute and a half, but he's saying, we got to be smart or the movie gets shut down. And then if it gets shut down, then I got all these people who don't get paid. Paulie, your reaction to Tom Cruise?
I love it. I actually like Tom Cruise better now. He's taking the bull by the horns and not passing it off to some assistant or some second director and saying, hey, man, this is my livelihood. I'm putting money out here. My production company is funding these movies, and we're putting thousands of jobs, thousands of dollars in your pocket, and you could shut it down in a day with your behavior. And I like that it's Tom Cruise doing it, not passing the buck.
Although when I heard him, I always think, like, Tom Cruise is always acting.
No, that was Tom Cruise in the first 20 minutes of Tropic Thunder, Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, Seton, what did you think of Tom Cruise?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Great. Good for him. You know, he's talking about, you know, you're taking food off of people's plates. You know what I mean? You can't pay for college. You can't pay. All that stuff. I love what he did. Absolutely.
And I think there were a couple of guys who were not wearing their mask, and that's why he just went off. Yes, McLovin.
You know, I hate to do this, but I want to go back to Todd for a second.
No, boy.
He did sneak in there. He goes, I didn't realize the audio was trickling into your side. It was totally a passive aggressive saying there's no way that audio was trickling your side. And I was even thinking after Tom Cruise yelled, Todd would be like, yeah, but I had my mask on at the key time. There was a little bit of defiance in there. I don't know if you heard it.
Well, you know, he's saying that he didn't know it was trickling in on my side, but it was definitely on his side. So it's on his side of the glass.
So I guess
he said it.
Yeah, I guess anytime I put my mic on, you would hear it in the background off of my mic, not on your side where the door is closed and you got the glass is up. But bottom line is it should only take one time to just have it muted. And for some reason, I put it back on to hear what was going on and I forgot to bring the volume back down and it became a thing.
Just always remember, the next time it happens, if it does,
I'm out. That's it.
I'm going Tom Cruise on you.
Okay? That would really suck.
Yeah. Yes, Seton.
I'll bet $1,000. Todd has already sent an email to somebody else asking them to make sure that the TV is down every morning.
Wow, delegating responsibility.
I'll co-sign that bet. I'll take half that bet.
I will gladly lose that $1,000.
I think if, you guys are going to lose
Eric
that bet.
Weeks or somebody hasn't been tasked, Tyler, the moderator, hey, can you just make sure that the TV's turned down every morning? Thanks, would appreciate it.
Let me take a break. The SEC, wow. You and yours. The SEC commissioner is going to join us. Greg Sankey.
I have not sent that note, by the way, so that's a loss.
Not yet.
But it's a great idea.
Take a break. We're back after this. Dan Patrick Show. Masterclass offers exclusive classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their fields. I don't care what you're thinking about. If you've ever wanted to have that hobby, or you have a hobby and you want to maybe take it a little bit more serious, then Masterclass is for you. It can be about sports, tennis with Serena Williams, and you have classes there. There are about 20 lessons per class, 10 minutes per lesson, but it fits into your day. You explore it at your own pace. Lessons available anytime, anywhere on your phone, computer, tablet, or smartphone. It's not like you go, it's a certain time, that's when I take my lesson. You do it whenever you want to. And there's over 90 classes, wide range of world-class instructors. And it's a lot simpler and closer than you'd think. Because I did it with Steph Curry to see if he could teach me how to shoot hoops. And granted, he couldn't. But, you know, it's two masters really looking at that. But he'll be able to help you. And they have this great offer. You get unlimited access to every master class for you and a friend right now. If you get that annual membership, you can give one for free. Masterclass.com/Patrick. Masterclass.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. They have this Sprinter van that you can win. Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. I talked to him yesterday. This thing is so tricked out. You can enter, get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. By January 24th, Mercedes-Benz vans. They're actually dropping it off, I think, next week for us to take a look at here on the home campus. We'll get to more phone calls coming up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Coastal Carolina close to finalizing a new 7-year contract, according to Pete Thamel, with Jamie Chadwell. The deal includes a significant salary increase for he and his staff. Coastal Carolina, 11-0, playing for the Sun Belt title coming up this weekend. He's the SEC Commissioner, Greg Sankey, back on the program. Home stretch there, Greg. Who would have thought all those times we were talking over the summer? Now you can come clean, full disclosure. How nervous were you that you were going to get in a full season?
When we were speaking back in the summer, do our best, but there were never a guarantee, Dan. And so I've talked about hold your breath moments, which is COVID testing. I mean, every week has been a challenge. It has been wearying, but we're close. We're not quite there. We're close, though. And testing results today are negative, which is positive for playing this weekend.
You get updates every week on every school?
Three times a week. So we have a conference managed testing program through a third party. In football, it's Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and those results will trail either that evening or the next morning. So I started the season, it's like Friday was my hold your breath moment, as you waited to see if people get on the plane, because we wanted to test before people travel to avoid some of the controversies we've seen in other circumstances. And then as, you know, we played 3 weeks uninterrupted, which may be the greatest accomplishment this season. We had 7 games for 3 straight weeks and then just got into this cycle of disruption. And all of a sudden my hold your breath moment on Friday was Monday morning when we were waiting for testing results, because we had some disruption occur early in the week, and again on Wednesday and then on Friday. So it's been a constant cycle of, I don't know if it's worry, concern, attention, focus on will we be able to play games.
What was your reaction to the latest college football playoff rankings?
Well, obviously I have an SEC perspective, and I think we set ourselves up with a 10-game schedule that has been recognized over time as incredibly rigorous, even when it's eight. And even with records that may not be what people anticipated, it is still difficult to win games in the Southeastern Conference. And I think the committee recognizes the quality of football here. So, you know, for the top eight, certainly encouraging, but there's still football to be played.
What changes would you make to the process?
The selection process?
Yeah.
Well, let's just remember 2020 is an odd year. Like, I would love to have played non-conference games in football, but we needed to move those early so we could then play a conference schedule. That wasn't the mindset that was shared. So the fact we had to play conference only in many circumstances, in fact, in most, is one that was out of my control. I think the first change is we just need to make sure we have quality non-conference competition in football, because that gives you this scale. Are there other metrics that could be used? I don't know that I go there. So now what I watch is the reaction from yesterday is, well, the BCS was better. You know, it didn't have these humans making decisions. When we had the BCS, it's like, ah, these polls are nonsense. We need humans in the room making decisions.
But what about expanding to eight?
I don't think eight solves anything from my perspective. You know, we're going to be arguing about nine. We have an agreement to start with four in a playoff. That's what happened in 2014, a set of objectives. We can't go too long. My coaches have told me, in fact, coaches in other conferences that played in the championship game have told me, when you got to the end of that, your team was done. There's a physical toll that's taken. So the give and take is bigger than just go to eight. And eight has implications. You know, my friend Jim Delaney one time said, and I think it's okay to share this because I think he's spot on. When we only had two teams selected for a national championship and you weren't in it, the impact on your brand or the esprit de corps of your conference wasn't that large. When it went to four and you're left out, that's a bigger deal. Okay. And I've certainly felt that pressure. You go to eight, what are the outcomes there? Is that the right number? I just don't go to eight in my mind automatically as the solution.
Has Ohio State passed the eye test?
I don't watch them much. So I'm the wrong person to ask because I'm immersed in what happens here. That's why I'm not on the selection committee.
Explain to me, Florida loses at home to a subpar LSU team and only drops one spot.
Well, subpar to last year, but you know, LSU's been in close games, and we play games because you don't know what happens.
But they've been embarrassed a couple of times, though, Greg. They've been embarrassed this year.
Well, Alabama's pretty good, so you're going to have to make a list of
Auburn.
People that have lined up against Alabama and played well. And you know what, Dan? Part of the challenge this year is the mental challenge. Beyond the physical challenge of playing football, the unknowns, the COVID testing and the results, opt-outs, who's left. And what I've watched in a number of situations is when teams get down to about 55 players, they've started to play some of their best football. So it was an upset, but let's be clear. That's why we play football games. It's competition. You never know what happens in a competitive environment. And, you know, last week, some people were probably uncomfortable when I observed, you know, we made a commitment to try to play every game. The COVID circumstances will dictate that. And I think that's the responsibility that needs to be shared.
Is that a WWE belt over your shoulder?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah,
Greg,
the Commissioner Sankey.
Can you get that? Can you go get that and bring it
Nick
over?
Nick Khan, who worked for us in CAA and now works for WWE, sent me that. It was like the biggest smile I had all fall when I opened up a package not knowing what it was.
Can you go get that and bring it over?
Yeah, I'll be happy to.
Yeah, let me go look at this. I noticed that back there. It's like Nick Khan, a famous agent. And
you see that? That's my moniker in WWE world.
You should wear that to the national title game.
Well, we've talked about that. When it showed up, I walked around the office and carried the CFP trophy in one hand and wore the belt.
I like it. Yeah. You know, these kids posing for the Heisman, you know, before they get the Heisman. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You should.
That's right. It's like a great talking point, as we found here this morning.
I know you're short on time and you got to leave us, but congratulations so far. You did a wonderful job and you've allowed us to kind of go along with you, the ride through this process.
Yeah.
So Good luck in the SEC title game, getting that, and then whatever happens in the Final Four, Greg. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Dan. I've appreciated every conversation. You know, some of the questions are uncomfortable, but needed to be asked, right? And yep. Sometimes I had to say, you know what, I don't know. But problems yield to effort, and we've got a chance to crown a champion on Saturday, and we've got three other games scheduled too. So I think that's been a positive experience. It's been hard, but it's been a positive net.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yep.
That's,
take care.
Greg Sankey. He's SEC Commissioner. Of course, you've got football coming up this weekend. And I look, Florida deserves to drop farther than what they did, one spot. I know Greg's saying, hey, this is LSU, and you could play the games, and I get all that. Florida, you lost at home, and LSU has not been good this year. I think we can all agree. If you want to say they've just been average, you lost at home to an average team, and I'm being complimentary here. You shouldn't just drop one spot. It just feels like the committee is whatever they have to, like, the bottom line is always keep the power, as many Power 5 conference teams as you can in the top 10, top 8. Like, that is the game plan. That's the feeling I get when I watch it. And it feels like we have different requirements, restrictions, rules, depending on the school, depending on the conference. I truly believe that. And I don't think it's fair. And I don't know if you go to 8, okay. If I'm a businessman like Greg Sankey, I'd go, I'll take 8 because now I get 3 schools in, maybe 4 schools in. I'm going to double the playoff money. Why wouldn't I want that as a businessman? But, you know, we're going to expand. Every sport has expanded their playoffs. And college football will as well. Yeah, Paul.
That was a great catch by you with the WWE belt behind Commissioner Sankey. I was hoping it was a better backstory, like he was originally a member of the British Bulldogs back in the 80s, and he switched to conference titles.
Yeah. I'd like to see him coming off the turnbuckle there. Like if you get all the other conference commissioners in there, and like Sankey going against Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, Big 12, that'd be good. All righty, let me get some phone calls in here. Let me start with Paul in Iowa. Hey, Paul, what's on your mind? And Trevor Lawrence will join us coming up next hour. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Dan. How about my Cyclones rising to number 6?
Yeah.
I got two quick points about that. First off, I don't think that it's obviously a weird year, but I don't think there's a better non-conference loss by a Power 5 school than to Louisiana. And my other point is, I think besides Cincinnati and maybe even some of Cincinnati fans, all of the Group of 5 schools are cheering for Iowa State to beat Oklahoma and sneak in that 4th spot, because then that helps their argument that the committee is biased to Power 5 schools, and it goes back to the UCF argument. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. I don't know if people are rooting for Iowa State to beat Oklahoma, and even if they do, that they would somehow get into the Final Four. I know they really love Iowa State. They really love Iowa State. And I watched them when they lost their season opener at home to Louisiana. But they have a ton of talent. Feels like they have a ton of NFL talent on that team. But they got a couple of losses here. I mean, North Carolina has as much talent as it feels like any team in the ACC except for Clemson every year. But that doesn't mean they weren't being in a top 10. Although this year, North Carolina, They got some pros there. That's a good offense. Yes, Paulie.
Seton's missing his window to pub up his love for Iowa State. He's been on the Brock Purdy train for about 3 years checking my notes. So you got to beat your chest, Seton.
Yeah, no, I'll let you guys do that for me. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, Paulie. But yeah, everybody knows, all of my Cyclone people know, that I was on that bandwagon early.
You're huge there.
He tore apart West Virginia like 2 or 3 years ago, and they had this receiver too at the time that I was like, that dude is going to be the best receiver in the NFL, and this kid's winning a Heisman because they were just unreal.
Oh, you came in on that Monday, and you all of a sudden started the Iowa State bandwagon, and I went, yeah, wow. Like, you had to start the engine. I don't even think it had an engine. You had to put an engine in the bandwagon to get it going. But
yeah, man, Brocktober.
Yes.
No joke.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're just, you know, I'm watching the selection show last night, and you just go, okay, just explain it to me. Like, give me the logic there. And there, I don't know if there's logic attached to this.
Do you think they pre-tape the selection show? Like they tape it in September and they tape like a dozen of them just in case. And just like, you know what? We'll go with Ohio State, Oklahoma. And they have the four or five big teams. And Reese just says, let's tape these. We'll just tape these in case there's a technical issue.
I know you're joking, but
I know I'm joking because you could tape these like the weather in California.
No, because there's always these outliers where, you know, BYU was a big deal for a couple of weeks. And we, you know, we wanted to see if they were going to move up and. You know, there's always like USC right now. Like I don't know how good USC is, but if USC was in the national title picture, let's say two of the last 3 years, I truly believe USC would be inside the top 10 and out, you know, on the outside looking in, just because it's based off of what is your current resume and what is your tradition? What is your history? I truly believe that that factors in. Because with Ohio State passing the eye test, okay, that's one thing, but it's the Ohio State. Let's not kid anybody. And they do have a couple of, you know, if you're going to beat Indiana or you beat Indiana and you beat Northwestern, okay, you're beating, you know, top 15 teams, top 20 teams. Okay, I get that. But I don't know what passing the sight test truly means to the committee. Has anybody else needed to pass the sight test? It's only Ohio State, right? Nobody else has to pass a sight test. Just Ohio State because they only have five games. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm still wondering about Clemson. I know you're saying, I feel like a two-loss Clemson is going to be attractive. If you put a two-loss Iowa State in,
wow,
Trevor Lawrence... Big TV.
Well, no, Clemson would be losing to Notre Dame, the number two team in the country, and they'd lose to them twice.
Right. But I mean, I'm saying like they're considering other two loss teams like Florida and Iowa State. If you're going to pick a two loss team, don't you want the biggest star in there?
Yeah. I mean, that would be the logical, like if I'm trying to think like the selection committee is thinking, then I'd go, I want to have Trevor Lawrence in there. I want to have Dabo Swinney. Now, his press conferences, like I want to have all of that magic that goes along with this. And it's not being fair to A&M or, you know, Iowa State, but it's not fair. I think we all agree it's not fair. And if it goes to eight, does that make it more fair? I don't know. But yes, you're going to have blowouts in the first round. You are. You know, could Liberty hold its own against Ohio State? Could Coastal Carolina? Probably not. But then you have to at least admit to these schools who aren't Power 5 schools, you're not going to play for the national title. Like, just so you know, you'll never, ever get a chance to play. You'll never, ever get close to maybe qualifying for the Final Four. Because really, that's what it is. Without telling you, that's what they're saying. We don't want you. You're not good for business. And this is about business. Dave in New York joins us. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Dan, I really want you to say how much I appreciate the fact that you are exposing this for what it really is. There is no way a group of five team is ever going to have a chance to be in that top four. They don't want to expand it to eight. I've said for years they should create their own group of five tournament. There's five teams, have three at-large teams, have their own eight-team playoff, and let's just call it a day. This absurdity with Iowa State being where they are and having gotten cleanly beaten by Louisiana just shows the laughability of the whole thing.
All right.
And I really appreciate the show. Thank you,
Dave. Yeah, I know. Nothing's going to change. But, you know, they said that to me when I was railing against the BCS. Nothing's going to change. But it didn't stop me from railing on it. That I'd get on my soapbox and you'd allow me to do this. And then I'd step back down and then we'd move on to something else. And it's the same thing here. A former college coach said, you know, college football is not going to change anytime soon. And I said, I know that. And then he said, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't stop shouting. And I said, well, hopefully I'm not shouting. But he goes, no, you're shouting. And I said, okay, well, then I'm shouting. But it's because I love the sport so much. It was so important to me growing up. It's still important every Saturday night. It doesn't matter the game. I love watching it. But I do want, I want everybody to know the rules of the game they're playing. That's all. I just want to know what matters when it comes to playing for a national championship or getting into the conversation or playing in a big bowl game, whatever it is. I want more relevant games. Imagine all of the games that you would have this final weekend. Let's say there were eight playoff spots. Now, all of a sudden, boy, this is interesting because you might be in. Now it becomes about where you're seated. You know, Alabama's going to play the number eight team. Alabama plays Georgia. Okay. What happens to Texas A&M? Coastal Carolina in the Sun Belt Championship. Like, that's what I'm looking for. You know, 1AA does a playoff, and nobody complains about it. If anything, we applaud it. We go, it's great. Win, you advance. Higher seed gets to host a game. Whatever formula we have, then let's be true to it. Let's be true to what we're seeing and what we think the requirements are to play in some of these big games. And if you want to have Power 5 conferences, which I've been saying for years now, just have, because the NCAA doesn't run this. Power 5 conferences just come in and say, we're going to run it. We're going to have 65 teams, and we're going to have 12 schools make the playoffs. We're going to play 10 games. 10 games is the most. We'll have a conference championship. That could be a play-in game. Whatever it is, however you want to structure this, you can do it. You can make more money. But I also think you're being fair to these other schools. Now, I don't know if there's lawsuits there. You know, if somebody's going to sue because you're not going to let us play or whatever it is. And maybe that would happen. But at least I'm telling Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, Liberty, some of these other really good stories this year. Hey, you know the rules. It's like when you get, you know, when you're standing outside a club and you keep thinking, I'm right here. That doorman can see me. I'm right here.
And there, brother.
And he keeps looking past you. And I go, but wait, I'm here. That's the feeling I get with these other schools. They're here. We won't acknowledge them. It's time that we do acknowledge them and at least tell them you'll never, ever play in the Final Four. Never. Yeah, Seton.
But you're kind of really telling them you need more than one great year, right? Like if Liberty did this for the next 3 years, they would get a shot. But you need more than one, right? Or like Coastal Carolina. All right, see you in 3 years. And if you guys still keep killing it, okay, you might make it into the four.
Maybe. But is it about what your tradition is, or is it about what you're doing now? That's what I don't understand. Iowa State has no resume. Like, when's the last time you went, boy, that Iowa State is a powerhouse? That didn't happen. They got a chance to get in the Final Four. So we're not being fair to the other schools. Meanwhile, we're going out of our way to have Iowa State in there. Yeah, see.
Well, yeah, but like Iowa State, it's going to take like an act of God for them to get in. Like there's still a path, but it's not realistic at all. You know what I mean?
But they at least get to look in to the club. Like they get to look in through the window. I'm behind that velvet rope, and I don't even get a chance to look in. Iowa State is there. They get to look in and go, oh, yeah, look at that. Yes. Yeah, Paul.
You got to go back with Boise State. In 2007, 2006, they were 13-0. 2008, they were 12-1. 2009, they were 14-0. Yeah. Then 12-1, 12-1. There was a stretch where they lost three games in four seasons, and they got two Fiesta Bowls out of it. And that was a miracle they got those two.
All right, let me take a break here. More phone calls coming up. And once again, Trevor Lawrence will join us as well. National Signing Day. Any other names that I should be aware of for National Signing Day, Paulie or McLovin?
All our focus is on General Booty. If you want us to open up a little bit, you got to give us the order.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody's got to get General Booty and bring him in, quarterback for your team. Field General Booty. I mean, come on. Just waiting for that. Yeah, Paulie.
If he gets benched, does he become Major Booty?
Like demoted?
Like a demotion.
Ooh.
Stay with me, Todd.
Private. All right, we'll take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Trevor Lawrence joins us next hour. I was curious. He has 20 touchdown passes in 8 games this season. And I was wondering if that's more than either of the two NFL teams that have the best chance to take him with the number one pick overall. The Jets have 11 touchdown passes this year. The Jags have 19. Trevor Lawrence has 20 in 8 games and the championship game coming up this weekend against Notre Dame. By the way, I'm hearing from Clemson folks. You're having Trevor Lawrence on and you have a Notre Dame helmet on your desk. Clemson never sent me a helmet.
Hello.
If Clemson wants to send me a helmet, I'll put it up. Iowa State sent me 2. LSU sent me 2. I have 3 Army-Navy helmets in here. If they send it, I'll put it up. That's it. Plain and simple. I heard from Ohio State fans, why do you put that Michigan helmet up? Ohio State hasn't sent us a helmet. Send me a helmet. I'll put it up. It's that easy, Paulie. It's that simple. That's it.
Shouldn't have to beg, Dan.
No, I shouldn't, but I just did. I'm giving you the opportunity to have your helmet on this great platform that I have in here, on my desk, in my man cave, with my good friend, Todd Fritz. Yes, Paul.
How about the deep dive the research team did and found out that Trevor Lawrence's real first name is not Trevor, it's William, a.k.a. Bill Lawrence.
Yeah, Bill Lawrence doesn't scare me. Bill Lawrence sounds like a character in The Karate Kid. Like, you know, Daniel-san is going to go against Bill Lawrence.
I think he fought Johnny Lawrence.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Johnny Lawrence's brother, Bill Lawrence. Yes, McLevin.
I'm looking at these top recruits' names. They have to be made up.
Okay.
Brock, oh, sorry.
Give it to me.
Brock Vandegrift from Bogart, Georgia.
He was on the WB. He was a quarterback.
Kadon Salter, J.J. McCarthy. Kyle McCord. I mean, it's all in a name. If your kid's named Kyle McCord, he's going to go to the Ohio State and play quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Lawrence is not scaring any defense. But Trevor Lawrence, and with the hair, like he looks like he's Trevor. I got to ask him about, remember the fan who met him and looks just like him, the woman? Did you guys ever see that picture with those two?
Yeah, it's uncanny.
Yeah, I got to ask him about that. Yes, Paulie.
He's right about the name thing, as we talked about a few weeks ago. Colt McCoy, that was like a territorial draft for Texas football. They get Colt McCoy by his name. If he was Daniel McCoy, he would have been playing racquetball somewhere with the guys in the neighborhood.
Here's another one. I don't know where Jackson Dart is going, maybe USC, but Jackson Dart, he's a quarterback. Like throwing darts. I mean, come on. Sawyer Robertson going to Mississippi State. Bubba Chandler maybe going to Clemson. Yes, McLevin.
Is that why Daniel Jones only got into Duke because of his name?
There's 8 guys at Duke named Daniel Jones.
Let's see. Who else? Any other names in here? Heinrich Harburg.
I noticed a lot of sons and brothers.
You can't have Heinrich, the Heinrich maneuver. No, you can't.
See, Damon Hewitt's son is the number one guy.
I like the Heinrich maneuver.
Well, when he escapes the pocket, then it's the Heinrich maneuver.
I like that. University of Heidelberg.
Oh. All right. 2 hours in the books, 1 more to go. Bill Lawrence from Clemson will join us coming up here in about 25 minutes. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.